Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good Tuesday morning to you. Happy that you're here with us this morning. What a day. Here's the deal. So at around 12:15, so what, if a little less than 5 hours, about 5 hours ago, is when St. Louis time, is when Donald J. Trump, 47th President of the United States, returned to the White House. Just so you know, he was up at a church service yesterday morning at 7 a.m., I think is when it was, when he was at the National Church, the St. John's Church there across from the White House. And he didn't rest all day. How many 78-year-old people do you know that could do that? I think it's worth noting that, and I'm sure that he was fired up after what happened yesterday, but he was literally going from 7 a.m. yesterday until just a few hours ago, and maybe up and at him again this morning. I don't know. There's a picture of the White House. All the networks were live there. Fox has got the Capitol building behind them, but they showed a live shot of the White House earlier, and there were windows. There were lights on in the family residence area, they pointed out. I wouldn't be able to look at the White House and tell you where that was. But there were lights on, which means they assume somebody's up and at it again already this morning.
I assume Melania stayed there last night, considering what kind of day they had. But I do know that she's planning to split her time between, I believe, their home and the White House. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of a role that she takes with this term, because last term, you know, and I heard the people on Fox talking about this yesterday, that the first time he was in office, you know, the Russian collusions, there was just so much stuff that was just overshadowing the beginning of that term that he was having to battle, the impeachment, just everything about it. And this is really his first crack at a clean start where no one's sitting there, even on the left, saying he didn't win fair and square. He won the Electoral College by a landslide. He won the popular vote. This man deserves to be in the White House right now, and I think everybody is finally acknowledging that. So I think this is really a good start. But again, it will be interesting to see what kind of a role Melania takes, because I don't think she felt like people took her seriously.
Well, you know, before. I don't know. I think she can do whatever she wants to do. I do think that the last time around, she had the excuse of, well, Barron. Like, I want to live here because this is where Barron is in high school and I need to be near him. And I think every mother in America could identify with that. Now, Barron is in college, so she doesn't have a kid at home anymore. I don't know if they'll be as willing to accept the fact that she needs to spend half of her time at Mar-a-Lago. But again, I mean, they had an unusual situation there the first time around, so maybe it'll be continued to be as unusual this time around.
I don't know. I hope she takes on this issue of child trafficking.
I'm just so glad we can talk about it. I'm just so glad that is the subject of the show this morning, of America. Everybody's covering it. There's not a TV on anywhere, except with the exception of the Weather Channel, because they are going to get 5 or 6 inches of snow in parts of South Texas and Louisiana today. They have they have blizzard-like conditions around New Orleans, parts of New Orleans, apparently, and they have no snowplows, nothing. Probably many of them don't have furnaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, we obviously have crazy cold temperatures here, but yeah, you're right. It's like, you know, 1 inch for us clearly is too much for the city to handle, but especially in some of these warmer states, I mean, they don't know how to handle it. Like Tennessee, when I lived in Nashville, you had an inch or two and it was like the entire city shut down because they don't have the equipment, the tools to combat that. Although I did see the city claim they were out there trying to treat the streets. There was some snow, by the way, that fell, just a very light dusting here in the city. And I did not notice that in St. Charles County. So it must have been only in the city. Thank goodness it wasn't enough where you have to worry about, you know, your
streets
going to
get cleared or not.
But my gosh.
Well, at least they finally signed some contracts. Don't you feel good about that? It is hard to believe that 2 full weeks after that snowstorm, there's still the kind of snowpack. Like, for example, downtown here, outside of our building, so we're down on Olive Street, you still can't park on the street. Like, the snow was pushed off the main roads onto the side where you normally would have parking spaces outside of our building. And those are just big, solid chunks of ice right now. There's no way to drive over them or around them to park there. And it's that way all over the city, still 2 weeks out.
All I'm thinking about when you're saying this is can't go over them, can't go under them. Must go around them.
Oh, my. Is that Miss Rachel? I'm trying to remember.
No, that's not Miss Rachel. That's old.
That is old, yeah.
Not a nursery rhyme. What is that? Somebody listening right now, please chat. By the way, we're chatting with you guys on YouTube. That's the best place now that we're going to kind of shift things. We're getting used to what's going to work best. But if you go to the 97.1 page on YouTube, that's probably the best way to engage with us. But we're on Facebook, too. Other places as well. But let us, please tell me, what am I singing? What is that?
It's a good question. Somebody will know. Somebody will know here in a few minutes, I'm sure. Coming up, we are going to get to, of course, John Lamping at the bottom of the hour. Jessie Jane Duff a little later. She, I know, was at the Liberty Ball last night because she was promising to get me tickets to the Liberty Ball had I gone to Washington. And I'm sure that would have been quite the sight to see, because I don't know if that's where the president went first. I saw images of that's the military ball of Melania and the first lady and the president dancing with members of the military before they dance. I don't know, before or after they danced together. And that's where Laura Ingraham was live last night, was at that Liberty Ball. We'll talk to Jessie Jane about her experience there coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But first, let's get to our top stories, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
It will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
Yeah, you know what? When you can stand in front of people like that and throw shade on them while they're standing right behind you, you got some guts. Donald Trump spoke truth to the left yesterday in his acceptance speech after being sworn in as the 47th president.
Senator, how do you think the situation's going with the ceasefire right now? Are you happy with the progress that's being made so far?
We're always happy when people are free, but Hamas is still a bunch of savages.
Hamas is still a bunch of savages, in case you didn't hear Marco Rubio there. How refreshing to have a Secretary of State willing to speak the truth about the Middle East situation.
It is very hard for me to look at this spectacle of the takeover of the United States by a base mentality of greed and corruption.
There's a lot of corruption, clearly. Is there a lot of crime, too, Joy Reid? I wonder what she thinks about all of the preemptive pardons for people who apparently don't think they've done anything wrong.
Are you going to the inauguration? Are you going to the inauguration? Let me make myself clear. I don't celebrate rapists.
Oh! You know who didn't get a pardon? Was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And you know who did pay Donald Trump recently, what was it, $15 million? Is that what ABC settled on? I'm trying to remember the dollar amount.
Something like that.
For George Stephanopoulos saying the same thing on network television. So because they lied about Donald Trump, he sued them. And I wonder if they could possibly sue Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for what she said there.
I'm sure they could. The question is, will they?
I don't know. But if she's going to walk around saying things like that, I mean, there's a reason she didn't go to the inauguration yesterday. Go ahead and play the whole bite, Carl. Cut 16, please.
All these journalists are like, Congresswoman, are you going to the inauguration? Congresswoman, are you going to the inauguration? Are you going to the inauguration? Let me make myself clear. I don't celebrate rapists. So, no, I'm not going to the inauguration tomorrow.
Oh, man. I missed her. I was really hoping she might be there in that dress with, you know, murder or whatever written on the back of it, or greed or corruption or whatever she wore to the Met Ball that time. What a shame. I'm sure everybody there missed her, too. They're probably wondering where she was. She's probably hiding in her closet over in the in her congressional office.
It was probably like two reporters, like a CBS reporter and an ABC reporter, who cared that she was going, whether or not she was going to the inauguration. No one else cares, AOC.
So maybe one of the biggest examples yesterday of the difference between 2016, when Donald Trump was sworn in, and this year, is that there weren't mass groups of people who just decided to boycott the inauguration. James Clyburn, who is a Joe Biden sycophant, was there. James Clyburn went to the inauguration. And the first time around, he and a whole group of people refused to go. So it's pretty telling that even though they may be saying one thing verbally, they understand that there's a new power center in Washington, D.C., and it's not them. Let's put it that way. All right, let's get to a quick break. Bottom of the hour, former Senator John Lamping is going to join us. He was going to be in here yesterday, because I was supposed to be in D.C., and when that fell through, we kind of rearranged things. We'll get to John here in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
This week, I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based. As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
Well done, sir. Appreciate it. I tell you what, cheers went up at the party I attended yesterday to watch this, and it was pretty cool actually to be in there surrounded by people, a little bit of a I guess you'd kind of call it a impromptu watch party. I didn't know about it until after I left here yesterday, but it was a little place called Rookie's Bar and Grill up there in St. Charles, not far from Newtown, actually. It was funny because, of course, we were all in there. We're watching this. We got the TV turned up. We're listening to the speech. And there are a bunch of just regulars who apparently go there for lunch every day who had no idea this was happening. And then suddenly they're in there wondering what in the hell is going on with all these people with Trump hats on and shirts.
People didn't know that a new president was being sworn in.
Well, either, you know, I mean, there's that group of people who just aren't engaged in that and may or may not have even voted in the last election. I don't know. Or maybe they just weren't fans of Trump and they didn't really care that he's been inaugurated. But it was funny to see the regular lunch crowd come in and then all these other people already in there. But they were good sports about it. I mean, nobody was upset. The inauguration portion of it was over, what, by 11:30, the speech, 11:40?
11:45.
And people started filing in for lunch shortly after that.
Mm-hmm. But it was a longer speech. In fact, I was hearing on Fox that this speech was double the length compared to his first speech 8 years ago.
Probably it was inside, it was warmer, so he felt like he could go on a little longer.
Like there were things that were necessary to say in light of what's happened over the last 4 years.
Yeah, he had some get even stuff to do there, I think, as much as anything. But I will say, I was listening to this bite yesterday from Mike Huckabee, and I wanted to play this because, you know, they got those three hostages back, the three women. They're supposed to get three more back. They had to release 30 criminals back to the Palestinians who they're going to have to end up going out and killing again anyway. They ask Mike Huckabee, you know, one of the things we've talked about repeatedly is how do you fix the Middle East? Tony Blinken thought it was a two-state solution. It's never going to be a two-state solution. The idiots with the PLO and the people representing Palestine, or however you want to call it, the Palestinian people over these numerous years, have been offered their own state at least five or six times since the founding of Israel, maybe predating the founding of Israel. And every time they've rejected it because they refuse to have their own state alongside a state of Israel. They want Israel obliterated. So a two-state solution is never going to happen. And it's dumb to even keep talking about it. And that's why I would love new Israeli Ambassador Mike Huckabee. Go to 13 for me, Carl, please.
Do you believe that President Trump believes, and you do believe, that a two-state solution is the future?
No. I think we have to recognize there was a Palestinian state. It was called Gaza. Look how that turned out. You can't have a Palestinian state on top of the Israeli state if the Palestinians continue to believe that Israel shouldn't exist. Because the Palestinians don't believe in a two-state solution. They believe in a one-state solution, and their solution, and Israel disappears. That's no solution whatsoever. Israel has a right to its autonomous, indigenous homeland that they've had for 3,500 years since the days of Abraham.
You know who else is pretty happy that Donald Trump is president? The leader of Israel. Go to cut nine, Carl, please.
Congratulations, President Trump. Sarah and I send our warmest wishes to you, Melania, and the American people on your second inauguration as President of the United States. Your first term as president was filled with groundbreaking moments in the history of the great alliance between our two countries. You withdrew from the dangerous Iran nuclear deal. You recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. You moved the American embassy to Jerusalem, and you recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. You also brokered the historic Abraham Accords, in which Israel made peace with four Arab countries. I believe that working together again, we will raise the U.S.-Israel alliance to even greater heights. I'm confident that we will complete the defeat of Iran's terror axis and usher in a new era of peace and prosperity for our region.
You bet. Benjamin Netanyahu's the happiest because the reins are now off. And like Donald Trump said yesterday, will Middle East peace last? I don't know. It's not our war. It's Israel's war. So more common sense. We'll get to John Lamping coming up.
I thought this was an incredible speech, honestly. And truly watching Donald Trump indict these gangsters to their faces while they had to sit right in front of him in that intimate setting in the rotunda for Republicans was remarkable. They had to sit there and take it just minutes after Biden, who we're looking at here, pardoned his entire family. I mean, it was glorious. By the way, I love the rotunda setting. I thought it was regal. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was exclusive, that's for sure, for all of us who wanted to see him get sworn in but couldn't. But to Scott Jennings' point, what Donald Trump did was stupendous. It took guts to stand up there with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Barack Obama and Bill and Hillary sitting back there squirming in their seats when he indicted their ludicrous policies right in front of them. And there was nothing they could do about it. Let's get to former Senator John Lamping, who I know probably enjoyed that as much as I did yesterday. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Kim, yeah, it was a magnificent day. I'm so happy for the country. It's amazing to think that we managed to survive these 4 years. I always thought we would. We had it in us, but it was one hell of a difficult 4 years, day in, day out. This feeble old demented man lying straight to our faces while all his minions were enacting policies to take down this country, and for Trump to have the opportunity to speak to all those issues in front of those clowns as they're making their way out of the Capitol, I think was just phenomenal.
I would agree. Now, to Jennings' point about the pardons, I mean, obviously, Donald Trump came in and pardoned a lot of people that I believe were wrongfully convicted or overcharged or whatever you want to call it surrounding January 6th. But when you preemptively pardon someone, I mean, I was reading up on a Supreme Court case dating back to like 1913, and it said basically somebody has to accept a pardon for it to be valid, and if they do, it is an admission of guilt.
Yeah, I read the same precedent. Biden himself has suggested that to be pardoned, to accept a pardon, is an admission of guilt. Of course they're guilty. They're all guilty. We all know what they've been doing. My hope now is that that the federal prosecutors find something else to indict them, or a different time period, but more likely it's the state's attorney generals that can now look at these pardons and go after these people at the state level. You know, I know at the federal level too, they've lost their Fifth Amendment rights. The people that have been pardoned for federal crimes. So when they're called to testify, they can't hide behind Fifth Amendment rights. And if they refuse to testify, then they can be held in contempt of court, which would be a new crime. And contempt of court can involve jail time itself. You know, so much winning yesterday. I caught something kind of late in the day. An old friend of Missouri, a good friend of mine, Ed Martin, was named the interim U.S. attorney for D.C., which is in charge of the J6 prosecutors and prosecution. I don't know if you saw overnight where the jail, the holding cell in D.C. itself won't release the J6 prisoners. It's been rumored to be physically abusing them, and I think that would be Ed Martin's perfect first case to go after those people in charge of that prison. Now, there's so many things that we can go after. There's so much illegal activities, corrupt activities that went on these past, I would say, 5 years. It's, you know, when we look back at Biden, the candidate, he was a demented, feeble old man before he even became president and became the more demented, feeble old man. There's so much to do. And as much as the administration is going to go forward and implement change, I think it's just as important that people like Ed Martin come in behind and prosecute all the wrongdoings that occurred these past 4 years.
Now, John Lamping with us this morning. John, I thought I had Ed on here a couple weeks ago, and he had been appointed like chief of staff for the Office of Management and Budget. Is it so? There's been a change.
I saw that too. But Mike Davis, who's a big part of the legal team behind the Trump campaign, he tweeted that out yesterday, and I saw yesterday it was reported by the mainstream media. So, he was appointed to that chief of staff position, but he's now been named the interim, U.S. attorney. And I know Ed personally had been doing what he could do to help the J6ers these past, 3 or 4 years as they wallow away in prison.
Wow.
To actually make him the U.S. attorney, to give him prosecutorial capacity to go back into the system and prosecute, because there's a lot of people that didn't get pardoned, and there's as much as think about how unprecedented the pardons were. The fact that they actually pardoned the staffers to the J6 committee just speaks volumes to the fact that this was a false flag special op that J6 was. It was a lie, like so much of the Biden presidency was. And As much as I'd like to see us move forward, I also think that these people have to pay a price.
Yeah, good.
I know minutes after Trump was sworn in, there was a lawsuit filed against DOJ, and they're saying that they need to be basically official cabinet members. Then you have Vivek Ramaswamy coming out and saying he's no longer going to be part of that, that instead he's going to run for governor of Ohio. They're trying to start a similar effort, like a MOJ in Missouri. What do you make of all of this happening?
Well, my understanding with DOJ is DOJ doesn't have power. DOJ is just there to consult. It's like taking advice from a business consultant. Like, this is where you might go do what you might do. So I think that's so DOJ doesn't have, I don't think DOJ needs to be Senate approved. They don't have power. That's
right.
The thing about all the other governmental agencies, the people that head the agencies are the cabinets. They actually have a certain amount of power. They speak for the country. This is like an internal consultant is what DOJ is positioned as. MOJ could be the same way. I think Vivek, it was time for Vivek to go. He tweeted out a few weeks ago about how there's issues with our culture, our education culture, our inability as Americans to have the discipline, self-discipline enough to be at the forefront of education and leaders in different fields. And I think it was after that tweet, Vivek had little to nothing to say.
Yeah.
And we wish him well. Anyone be better than DeWine in Ohio as governor. But you can see that the Trump's not messing around. Like, last, you think about it, he did more in that first 3 hours than he did in the first 3 months last time. Last time he was surrounded by Bush people. This time he's surrounded by mega people. And he's going to have no tolerance for people that aren't in his team, that aren't in line. And how wonderful was it to see, our very, very good friend of Missouri, Will Scharf, handing to the president time and time again all those executive orders, all those pardons. It'll be very fun to watch Will in this position. You know, keep in mind, this is a position that Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh held at one point in his career. This is a great next step. You know, God has a plan. Will didn't win the attorney general's primary, but I'm much happier to see Will where he is today.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. We were watching that yesterday. both on the stage at Capital One Center and then back in the White House. And I overheard Brett Baer as he was covering it live saying, these are being handed to him by that guy who's announcing. Like, he had no idea who Will Scharf was, so I guess they'll eventually learn. But it was funny for all of us who know Will. We had him on the show so many times when he was running for attorney general to be in, literally at the president's right hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's even more than that. Like, in his role, Will's the one who decides who the president sees.
Yes.
When the meeting is called, who gets invited, who sits where they sit. Who gets to be in the decision-making process? You might think it's the president, but the president says to Will, this is what I want to get accomplished. And Will's the one who decides who needs to be at the meeting to accomplishment. I mean, he is he's the most powerful gatekeeper in the world. And we know him so well. I met Will way back when Greitens beat Catherine Hanaway the week after. He was working with Catherine. The week after that, I sat down and had coffee with Will. He ultimately worked inside the Greitens camp, the administration, his policy chief, and then later went on to do what he did. And there's just so many wonderful things going on in D.C., and that, not least of which is Will Scharf being in charge of who the president sees day in, day out.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm hoping he can do some media interviews here at some point, but they may keep a pretty tight lid on that. We'll see. John, thank you, my friend, as always.
Great to be with you both. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Thanks for your insight this morning. We appreciate that. Coming up, we're going to get to another news with Ethan. We skipped a lot of that stuff yesterday. Somebody asked earlier why the feed ended early on social media yesterday. We cut away at 8 o'clock to go to Brian Kilmeade live yesterday for inauguration coverage. That was not the case. We're back to normal this morning. We're here till 9 a.m., and we're going to get to In Other News right after this.
What's happening?
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
St. Louis musician Bob Cuban, best known for his band Bob Cuban and the Inmen and their 1966 hit The Cheater, passed away at age 84. He passed away peacefully in his sleep following complications from a stroke. And known for his drumming and leadership of the 8-piece band, Cuban's song The Cheater reached number 12 on the Billboard charts and topped the Australian charts.
Yeah, and nobody was more surprised about that success back then than Bob Cuban. I interviewed him a number of times, but I went to his home one time out in, I thought he was in Chesterfield. It said this morning he was in Wildwood, but went to his home, and I mean, his basement was just like walking through a rock museum. He had all kinds of great memories down there, memorabilia, and talking about The Cheater. And it had some resurgence. I'm trying to remember if it was used in a movie or something when
probably.
I was working at Channel 4, and that's the reason we went out and talked to him.
I got in trouble for playing The Cheater once at a hockey game.
Really?
Yes.
People didn't like it or didn't recognize
no.
it or what?
Context?
Yes, context. That's the best way to say it without getting me in any more trouble.
Oh, there you
soon.
Go. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Inquiring minds want to know.
A former player came back. And there was
cheater.
Strong rumors that he was having an affair with somebody else,
wow.
his wife.
Nice.
And that's all I can say about it.
Well, you said a lot, Carl.
I know. Like,
without saying the person's name.
Which everyone that knows hockey already knows what I'm talking about.
Moving right along.
So he was a teacher at DeBerg High School. He taught music.
Oh, Bob was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the cheater.
No.
I'm kidding.
No, he was a hockey
player. Back to Bob Cuban.
I'm kidding.
And there's a certain group of age people of a certain age, that Bob Cuban probably played your prom.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because they were like the go-to prom band.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yep, big North County band at the time, mm-hmm. weren't they? Yeah, there you go.
It looks like the Black Eyed Peas have canceled their Las Vegas residency even before it began. The Black Eyed Peas 3008, the Vegas residency, which was set to begin February 14th at Planet Hollywood's PH Live. The group cited current circumstances as the reason for the cancellation, though speculation about low ticket sales had circulated online for months.
I would think that would always be a risk. If you're going to be in residence in Vegas, mm-hmm. you have to have a big enough fan base that they're willing to, in addition to whatever the tickets cost, pay for a weekend in Vegas and a flight and all that stuff.
Fergie's not in the band anymore.
No.
Okay. Of all the shows I would pay for in Vegas, that would not be one of them.
Eagles, I probably would have done.
That was at the Sphere.
The timing had been different, yeah.
I know, actually, we talked about this at the college football party I was at last night. Someone said, hey, I want to see Chicago. I hear they're coming to Stiefel. And I said, oh, but they're going to be in Vegas for a residency first. And the band Chicago, is they have big enough hits that they could play a residency.
They might be able to pull it off, yeah.
Legendary guitarist John Sykes, known for his work with Whitesnake, Thin Lizzy, Tigers of Painting, and The Blue Murderer, has died at 65 from cancer. His death was announced on the official statement on social media.
So he played guitar on the two Whitesnake songs you know, Mark.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank
you,
Carl.
Here I Go Again and Is It Love and Still the Night. He played on all of those.
Okay. That gives me context.
Warner Brothers is reportedly developing new live-action projects tied to the classic 80 films Gremlins and the Goonies, aiming to revive these beloved franchises. While details are limited, Chris Columbus, who wrote the original screenplays for both films, is expected to be involved. A potential Gremlins 3 would be a sequel rather than a reboot. A new Goonies project is also under discussion, though it's unclear if it will be a reboot or a sequel.
Nothing new in Hollywood. They just can't come up with new ideas.
And those are never really that great. Has anyone really seen one of those live actions that you walk away from and you're thinking, that was amazing?
But Phoebe Cates has retired from acting, married to Kevin Kline.
Yes. Yeah.
But she hasn't done movies in decades.
So is she coming back? They need to try to lure her back?
I don't know.
You'd have to have somebody from... And Hoyt Axton's dead.
Yeah.
And I guess that kid Zach would... who I don't even remember his last name or who it was that starred in that. I don't...
Sounds like a new cast.
I guess.
Yeah, they're in trouble. The U.S. Department of Transportation is suing Southwest Airlines for operating two chronically delayed flights in 2022, resulting in 180 disruptions between April and August. The lawsuit seeks maximum civil penalties, accusing Southwest of harming passengers and fare compensation. The two flights from Chicago to Oakland and Baltimore to Cleveland were always delayed for five consecutive months. Southwest was responsible for over 90% of these disruptions. The DOTS lawsuit is part of its commitment to passenger rights, with Secretary Pete Buttigieg emphasizing the airline's legal obligation to provide realistic schedules.
How delayed are we talking?
Former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
Do you know how late?
It
like
didn't
an hour
say.
Or like
it
five?
Was just always late.
It was
what it
consistently
said.
Late.
Just consistently late.
I forget what that fine is that they have to pay, but I think that's fair. If you're that delayed, that could ruin someone's plans. They miss an
their
important
connection,
event.
Yeah.
A hotel. They should have to pay up for that. That's unacceptable.
And finally, Lupa Pizza, a restaurant in Norfolk, England, is charging £100 or about $122 for a Hawaiian pizza to discourage customers from ordering the controversial pineapple top dish.
Oh, I love Hawaiian pizza.
Want you to order it.
What's everyone's beef with pineapple on a pizza? Pineapple does belong on a pizza.
I think it's because it's disgusting.
No, Sue, that's not it.
Just a thought.
It could be. I mean, put a little pineapple, a little provolone on it. We can cover it up.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
All right. Coming up, we'll get to Todd Pyro of Fox and Friends first about the big Inauguration Day coverage they did yesterday. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.